Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, here we go. This one's kind of a terrible story. You know, people try to do stupid things to impress their friends. You know, we've seen there's been stories of showing off and jumping off of this into that where it doesn't make sense. You know, goofy things that people do, playing with fire and fireworks. Well, this is one where a man, 22 years old, is fighting for his life after he tried to swallow an entire burger without chewing it as a joke.
Swallow it and shut up.
Yep. As a joke, the young man has not been named, was hospitalized in an intensive care unit in Greece. He is reportedly still on a ventilator, remains in critical condition as doctors struggle to stabilize him due to the significant damage his vital organs have already suffered. One friend who was with him at the time said he began panicking before collapsing on the ground, telling local media he had something like a panic attack. He gets up and runs a bit further away. We thought he was going to spit it out and didn't want to make a mess around others. He didn't do that. He makes a move to come back, goes away again. Spits it out. We thought, okay, now it's coming. That didn't happen either. He just couldn't get it to come back up. He said then he starts coming back again the moment he realized that something was really wrong. And he said, trying to make a joke out of it and have fun with it, but this sucked. He obviously gets rushed to the hospital. He said even if he received first aid, a doctor's intervention is needed because when the brain is left without oxygen, irreparable damage is caused.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So just a sad story of doing something stupid.
Wait, you swallowed a hamburger?
Yeah. He put the whole hamburger in his mouth and said he was going to eat it without chewing it.
You do that with sausage. You're fine.
Yeah, but I do it without breaking it.
That's what I mean.
I think it's a shape.
Oh.
The shape. Right, Rob? You were there. All right.
I shoved it.
It's free if you don't break it. Now, we've talked about this. Dog accidentally shoots an owner in a freak accident. As he cleaned his gun.
A dog? When did you talk about this?
Before we went out, I said, hey, we've all been there where our dog has shot somebody with a shotgun.
Right.
You know, pets do this stuff all the time. No, and you guys could probably guess how this happened, or at least maybe if you think thoroughly enough.
Foot stuck in the trigger guard.
Dog was out there, he was target shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just like the Dick Cheney thing, he turned the wrong way and he shot. No, the guy was cleaning his gun and he set it on the bed and the dog got excited. The dog jumps up on the bed. What's he do? He lands on the gun. Man gets shot with his shotgun.
Got his paw inside the trigger guard.
Yeah. It's like, how do you let this happen?
Inside the trigger guard.
Had to.
Bang, bang. A 53-year-old Shillington man. Was not identified. He told the cops he was cleaning that shotgun, put it on the bed, sat down. His dog jumped up looking for some cuddles. Next thing he knew, the weapon went off, striking the dad in his lower back. He's not sure what stage of cleaning he was in at the time, so he's unsure if the dog's paw may have gotten caught inside the trigger and the safety was off or there was some sort of manufacturer malfunction. Either way, he took a shell in the back. Obviously, you should be treating every weapon as if it's loaded. All the cardinal rules, keeping it in a safe direction, finger off the trigger. This was just a perfect storm of things going wrong at the wrong time. It sounds so weird. We've actually had more stories like this than you would actually, you know, I'm joking about it, but I think I've done 3 or 4 other stories like this in the world of stupid. Same thing about a guy like setting his gun down and the dog stepping on it or dropping it and, you know, the dog hitting it, whatever.
Didn't somebody back in the day, Ed, have a dog named Trigger?
That was a horse.
Oh, it was a horse named Trigger.
Yeah, sure, horse.
Yeah.
I don't know, because Roy Rogers' dog was named Bullet,
The horse had
a dog? I think
his
horse was named Trigger, actually.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying the horse had a dog named Trigger.
Yeah, that was a different show. It was Mr. Ed.
Okay.
So Roy Rogers' horse was named Trigger and his dog was named Bullet.
I think so.
That would not work today.
No.
That would not.
Can't even have a basketball team with that name.
He makes a mean burger, too. God, he's just showing up all in the world stupid today.
The chicken's good. You ever had the fried chicken from
I've
Roy
had
Rogers?
Everything. I like the Gold Rush chicken sandwich. You ain't ever had that one?
No, the actual fried chicken. I coached at CCBC, one of the trips I loved when we had to play up in Frederick, because it was a Roy Rogers.
Really?
I loved it. I stopped there all the time.
See, I get that, though. Like, there's certain places you don't get to see that often. Uh-huh. And then people don't realize that there are a bunch of Roy Rogers around here.
Where?
You know that, right? Mm. I got them up near me. There's a few up near me.
Really?
Yeah.
Glen Burnie?
Yeah. Well, there's Hardee's, there's Roy Rogers.
I never saw one.
And then there's, isn't there one also at the, I mean, you're out in Harford County at that rest stop? You know, like if you're going towards Delaware,
I don't go up that far.
It's not that far from you.
It's upper.
It's not that far from you. You've got your exciting whites up there in northern Harford County, right?
I do know in PG County, I think near Bowie, there's a Bojangles.
Oh. There are Bojangles near me,
too. We used to play at AAU tournaments down there, and I used to love going down there.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, if any of your...
Burberry biscuits.
If any of your North Harford white friends invite you to go snipe hunting, don't go.
I'll do it.
No. This is a trick. You don't want to be there for that one.
It's not a snipe hunt?
No, there's no such thing. All right. I was out there in the woods for about 8 hours trying to impress my dad.
You and snipes?
Some bitch back home laughing. No. Snipes. You're supposed to say, that's the sound they make. That's why they're called snipes. Whatever. All right. This story it's out of like an awful movie, right? Like, there have been movies where this thing has happened where people pay an amazing amount of money to go out and hunt other people. Actually, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in a movie called Hard Target. If you guys remember, he actually gave a little back fist to a snake and knocked it out.
Oh.
Yeah. They were hunting homeless people. So they would give these homeless people, say, hey, come to this meeting. Here's some cash. If you're able to survive the night.
Or real life?
In the movie. Oh, okay. But I'm going to tell you what was going on here and you guys will understand. So yeah, they would go out and they would just hunt people and kill them. So this has happened where they put people in. There have been a couple of movies like this where they drop like 10 people out on an island and they're getting hunted by other people.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to survive.
Squid Game.
Yeah, similar stuff. Italy is investigating claims of tourists paying to shoot civilians in Bosnia in the 90s. The public prosecutor's office in Milan has opened up an investigation that claims that Italian citizens traveled to Bosnia-Herzegovina on sniper safaris. And again, snipers shooting people. Not going out and sitting up and you know, big game hunting. I guess technically it might be the same thing, except you're not getting anyone stuffed and put on your wall. But Italians and others have allegedly paid large sums to shoot at civilians in the besieged city of Sarajevo. The Milan complaint was filed by a journalist. Ezio Gavazzini, yes, describes a manhunt by very wealthy people with a passion for weapons who paid to be able to kill defenseless civilians from Serb positions in the hills around Sarajevo.
So the Italian authorities are prosecuting their own citizens committing crime in another country.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, is that I wonder, like, where does this come down? Like, who is...
I don't know, because I don't know how that happens, because if...
If
you go
countries,
to Australia and you stab somebody... You're not guilty of a crime here.
Yeah.
I don't quite get it.
I mean, you'd want to know this, though.
There's some kind of law where they, you know, if they've sent the check or a credit card or a phone call or whatever, text message, that'll be a crime federally somewhere.
It reminds me of do you ever see the movie Maverick with, not with James Garner, but with, that was the TV show, I believe, right? And then, of course, James Garner was in the movie with Mel Gibson where he played Maverick. And then he's going to one of the Native American friends he has that owes him money. Mm-hmm. And then there's these rich dudes that are paying to kill. They wanted to kill Native Americans. Oh, this guy's drunk and he's got the cough. He's going to die. And it's Mel Gibson running around. This guy's trying to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it would not shock me. And I know that's a movie, but this would not shock me if this thing went on. Like, there were billionaires out there paying.
No doubt in my mind.
Bored. Nothing else to do.
There was a line in a Woody Allen movie. I can't remember which one.
Oh, my God.
People were discussing human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters said, I can't believe the Holocaust ever happened. His response was, given the nature of humans, I can't believe it doesn't happen every 5 years.
Yeah.
And I mean that. And I believe that thoroughly. Like, yeah, I think it wasn't prevented. Yeah. You think they wouldn't do that in North Korea or the Middle East? Or somebody's, I mean, they're still hanging people from cranes for being gay in like Iran. I mean, think about what people do.
So
this doesn't shock me at all.
So a couple things. I want to read you one line from this story before we get out of here. and I'll do that in a second. But this says more than 11,000 people died during the brutal 4-year siege of Sarajevo. Yugoslavia was torn apart. Yeah, this is, I mean, going back to the 90s, and now that this stuff is leaking out. But this line is the one that got me. Different rates were charged to kill men, women, or children, according to the reports.
Children, too.
Yep.
That's they're probably the most expensive.
That's your world of stupid.
By the way, Jeremy, Brian Falter, who says he hadn't seen a Roy Rogers in Glen Burnie.
No, I didn't say it was in Glen Burnie. I said out that way.
I asked you Glen Burnie. That's my fault then, because I said Glen
Burnie. No, I'm in Glen Burnie, but like I consider Gambrels and Bowie near me.
And my buddy Chief says leave us folks in Harford County alone.
Chief who?
Pick on you, Glen Burnie.
Chief
people.
What?
Chief Reese.
Reese?
Yeah. He said leave him alone.
I don't know there's
Chief
any
running, Chief Running Water.
Yeah, there's the Roy Rogers and Gambrels. So Brian Falter, eat it. Rob Long, eat it. Neither one of you guys know what you're talking about. Yep.
Let's go to a commercial break as soon as we can.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's trending? What's popping? On the NFL's grievance against the NFLPA, Jeremy, give us the lowdown.
Well, I mean, this is another situation here where they're going to be upset with all this stuff that's going on with as far as, what is it, the positioning of the players on the injury report and how you're listing guys and what they have to do. I think some of it in being compliance with gambling, and we all thought, like, this was going to come to a head at some point. They're going to be fighting over all different types of things.
And so glad gambling is dictating the NFL now.
Once we get to 18 games, and you know how it is, you throw them a bone to get this or that. But
the big thing is about the player report cards, though. The NFL filed a grievance against the Players Association asking the union to stop its annual team report cards and saying the exercise violates the collective bargaining agreement by airing public criticism of teams according to the documents obtained by ESPN. That's the main thing.
Oh, I thought this is... No, see, I thought this was more about, when you're talking about report cards, is the injuries coming out. Like, listing... I didn't know it was about... It's about that?
Yeah. I figured that's what you would...
I know. Look, now I thought this was something totally different when it came down, that it was about, like, what had happened with the Ravens and how you list things.
This is a real report card. This is like...
This is stupid.
It's like having your report card from 10th grade on ESPN.com. Or NFL.com.
So,
the league claims the report cards, which poll players on various aspects of working conditions, violate a CBA clause that says NFL owners and the union must, quote unquote, use reasonable efforts to curtail public comments by club personnel or players which express criticism of any club. You know, at the end of the year, Ed, when they put out those report cards, the flying conditions.
Everything. Weight room conditions, camp, flying
those
conditions.
Those type of report cards?
Yes, about how the owners treat them.
I totally misread this because I thought it's more about like what you're putting out as far as players' injuries.
It's interesting to see who got the highest grades, who got the lowest. No big surprise, the lowest. Take a guess on the team.
Cincinnati. Oh, on this team?
Just, I mean, maybe the Jets owner.
Oh, I thought
Woody Johnson was the most vocal. Joe just told me. I looked it up. Woody Johnson of the Jets. Well, keep in mind, if Woody Johnson was not the Jets owner, the Jets would have had Bill Belichick as a coach in all those years. He didn't go because of Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Art Rooney, the Steelers got like, some. These are the ones that got D's or worse. It was David Tepper of the Panthers, Bidwell of the Cardinals, Robert Kraft of New England, and Rooney, which surprised me, of the Steelers. I was a, Rooney would be thought of better than that. Jets Woody Johnson was just, you know, he's a disaster. But the ones who got high grades, Ziggy Wolf of the Vikings, the Dolphins, Stephen Ross, And Arthur Blank of the Falcons, no surprise there. The Arthur Blank is extraordinarily generous, even with the fans, with what he does, you know, with the food prices and
stuff. He's the guy, man.
He is the guy.
So man, I totally swung and missed on this. I thought the NFL Players Association was upset at the NFL. This is, as you guys are pointing out, from the ownership.
This is the owners. Yeah.
The ownership, this is such a soft-ass thing.
Just to give you background on it, team owners and executives told ESPN that the topic of the report card arose at a recent owners meeting during a discussion over what management would like to change in future CBAs. Ownership sources told ESPN that they value the report cards but feel that because the union issues only general grades and not specific feedback, they serve as an instrument to mock teams without telling them which areas need improvement.
The teams got put on Yelp and they didn't like the reviews they got. Man, shut up. Like, really? This is what you're complaining about? Because you look bad? It's like taking a survey, asking everybody what they felt, and then all of a sudden dismissing everything. You know? Like, what are we doing here? Why would you even be upset
over something? It's like a bad restaurant review on Yelp.
Yes.
That's what this is, essentially. But
it's just so stupid. Like, we're spending... This is what they're upset about. Go fix something. Do something. If you don't like what people are saying about your facility, change it.
Yeah, because let's be honest now. If you get a bad grade, you know why you got the bad grade. When you got that report card and you got a C, you can negotiate all you want. You know why you got a C. You put in C work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If your food is bad, you're probably trying to penny pinch, and the people that are preparing your food or the food source that you're getting it from isn't top notch. So you can't have top notch product.
Do you know who got some of the best grades in that article? It doesn't matter. Let's just say the Chiefs got all the top grades.
I told you, yeah.
Atlanta got all the top grades?
Not all the top grades, but
no.
But I'm just
saying. The Vikings, the Falcons. The Dolphins, yeah.
Did Arthur Blank complain?
No.
Oh, because he got good grades. You only complain when bad stuff's written about you. Shut up, Woody. Do better. Be a better owner.
Dumbass.
Did Arthur Blank complain? No. Okay.
You know what I went to?
Shut up.
I went to Jets camp a couple years ago. Woody Johnson was on the sideline walking.
Uh-huh.
We were talking to Kevin Green before he died, obviously. And
too bad. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah. We're talking to Kevin Green on the sideline. And
I was going to say he didn't say much bad.
We had a couple of us talking. What they said was, let's move over here. They didn't want to be anywhere near Woody Johnson.
Really?
These are coaches.
Really?
Yes.
He called his quarterback out. Quarterback sucks. He does.
And he's right. He can't throw the long ball. He's terrible.
But you signed him.
And you don't talk about him like that.
I think Woody Johnson doesn't want you to criticize him publicly, but it's okay for him to criticize his quarterback publicly. Yeah.
See, and as far as I know, the quarterback didn't join the team. They acquired him.
Yeah, the owner criticized the quarterback publicly, not some outlet. Exactly. The owner did. Called it. Said, you're not a first-string quarterback. The other thing, maybe Woody's just in his feelings because he lost his number one investor when Diddy got locked up.
Wow.
They actually might have found Woody Johnson's name in those Epstein files.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise
me. He refers to a Woody multiple times in the people that he's talking to.
Maybe it's Woody Allen.
That's true. Could be Woody Allen.
Maybe it's a pee-pee.
That also true, yeah.
Do those files even exist?
Everybody's Woody from...
They're there.
There's a database of them.
Yeah. Week 11 NFL picks at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Mike Preston from Baltimore Sun.
Oh, his report card's done. They got rid of him.
On the Fan. Starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Peter Gabriel.
I love this video.
Oh, no. Now, am I right, Ed? This was about him kicking his drug habit?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Now, what's he looking up?
I thought someone said this is about him kicking his drug habit. I could be wrong about that.
I could be right.
Joining us right now.
I knocked somebody out of Peter Gabriel concert.
Courtesy of the Witness Nation, you did. Guest hotline from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. He is Mike Preston. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. How's everybody?
Doing well, man. Mike, Gabriel is going to start. I call him Peter Gabriel. Ed calls him Roman Gabriel's grandson. He's going to start against the Baltimore Ravens. Remember when I said... What?
Apparently not.
It's not?
No. It's Peter Gabriel's sledgehammer title lyrics are a metaphor for sex. using sledgehammer as the phallic symbol to represent male sexual power and desire.
I kicked the habit, shed my skin. All right. I'm going to have to go deeper into
I think that just means that, you know, he got an erection.
He said, there's another
over
one.
There, a lot of people are circumcised.
Sledgehammer is unabashedly about sex. Big dippers, fruit cages, and all.
That's Mike, you can put this in your report card. I'm glad we did this as soon as we got you on.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Mike.
Everybody gets an F.
Remember last week I said the Ravens will win easily over the Vikings because I don't trust the Vikings quarterback? You can just you can just repeat that for this week against Cleveland.
I think you are correct. What is this? This is fourth start, fifth start, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So you know Zach Orr's going to go out and throw everything at him. And it's just going to look like last week where you just confuse him, you baffle him, and then you go back and you look at the film and he makes these throws where we all just say, why did you throw that? How did you throw it? And what's going on? And the Ravens just need to take care of business.
Hmm. What do you think we do? How do you mitigate Myles Garrett in this game with an offensive line that just outright, they stink right now? Just, I don't know what else to say. They're not good.
Every time I watch the Browns play, it's the same scenario. It's been going on for a year, 2 years now. Is their defense comes out and plays extremely hard. And they do it for two quarters to kind of gauge where their offense is. And they just go, we're not scoring any points today. We're not going to do anything. So at halftime, we're just going to quit. And I think that's what's going to happen this weekend. They'll get to that point. That situation where they just look at their offense and go, oh, we're really bad. Remember years past, they had Nick Chubb. They had a running game. They had a very good offensive line, and their defense played lights out. And then it all started to shift.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe Cincinnati had a part in this because they went out and got their big quarterback and he took them to the Super Bowl. And then you see the Ravens started to shift the same way. With Lamar Jackson and building around him. I get it. I don't believe in it, but I understand the philosophy. And you see it in the AFC North. That's what has happened to that division.
Mike, so is we know it can be a house of horrors at time. We talked to Ken McCusick earlier this week that talked about the pressure that Lamar was under this past week, only having, I think, two opportunities of 3 seconds or at least 3 seconds of throwing in the pocket. Myles Garrett presents some problems, but this defense for Cleveland, I feel like the offense just leaves them out to dry. So if you can kind of weather the beginning, you're going to have some opportunities to have big plays in the second half.
Well, and that's what it's always been about. That's Cleveland. That's what makes them. they have a great defense, but there are just so many times when they have absolutely no offense. None. And maybe if their defense forces a couple turnovers and they put the Ravens in some bad positions. But other than that, I don't see it. Who won their offense? Let's look at the receivers. Who, besides Njoku, who scares you?
Well, the kid Fannin's pretty good, the other tight end that they've been using a lot. But again, I don't think there's any fear there. Jerry Judy's a nobody.
Yeah, he actually leads them in receptions, Harold Fannin.
Yeah. Right. But other than that, I mean, you don't have anybody scared. You don't have a running back that scares you.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Mike Preston joins us from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, because Quinshon Judkins doesn't scare you?
Not me.
No. No.
Okay.
No. I don't think anybody scares me on this team.
I mean, even Mike, if you go back and look at Judkins' big game where he had 3 touchdowns, he had like 20-some carries for like 79 yards. He was running for just over 3.5 yards a carry or something. Nothing wrong with that, but it's like, yeah, he compiled and he got opportunities when they got down near the red zone. So I'm not. Yeah, and I think he's okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's decent, and I think he can be better if you improve your offensive line. But they're not to that point, and will they ever get to that point again? I don't know. I've always supported a coaching change in Cleveland. It's about time. They need to change and get some new people, some new blood in there, and see where they go from here.
Well, I don't know if you need a coaching change or an owner change. It's like they just can't
see. Well, you know you're not going to get an owner change.
No. No. It's just what just worries me is I think the Ravens win. They're a much better team. They actually have something to play for. Browns always give them trouble. And I know I don't believe in historical play because it's different people every game. But there's something about the way they play Cleveland that bothers me. And you got the Ravens seem to be struggling. They're winning, but they haven't looked great offensively. And Cleveland has a really good defense. They may play for two quarters and just give up. But they're still pretty damn good, tough against the run. Like, what do you think they have to do to win this game, other being the Ravens?
Well, you know something? You could say that for all of these teams that play in the division. Mm-hmm. I mean, before when Minnesota, they beat Detroit, and they looked pretty good. And I'm like, wow, that team, boy, if they play the Ravens like this, this could be a game. But they're in the division. So it's like Jim Schwartz said earlier this week, hey, you're not going to come out and surprise anybody. You're not going to do anything that we haven't seen before. You just go out and play in the team that makes the least mistakes, turnovers. They win the game. Well, that's kind of the way you look at it approaching this game. Like, you know Cleveland's going to play hard. It's not like if they play Pittsburgh, the Steelers are going to play hard, too. And Cincinnati's going to play hard, even though they can't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. But that's just because they know each other so well. But when it comes down to it, your quarterback, that's the key position on your team. And you're trotting out a rookie. That's not good. Your offensive line is a little banged up. I don't think they're going to win. I think it would be a hard-fought game for a half. And then it's just like Miles Garrett will call up and say, can we get the U-Haul trucks ready? This season's pretty much over, and now we're 2-8 and 2-9, and can we just go home? And that's what's going
to
happen.
Mike, you got a chance to hear Grant Delpit, the safety for the Browns, talking about Keaton Mitchell and how explosive and that he makes fast guys look not so fast. It is interesting to hear other people talking about him. When do we start to see him get a few more touches per game? It does. Like, I realize the team didn't know that he was on the roster for the first 5 weeks of the season. What are your thoughts? Do we start to see him get a few more touches per game?
I think John Harbaugh said it Monday. You know, we got to get this guy involved more. You know, I think Todd Monken just forgot about him in the second half of that game because they were running Derrick Henry and just said, let's just keep going with what we got. The beast is controlling the game. Had 11 carries for 42, 43 yards in the second half. Let's just keep pounding the ball. And that's what they did. But, hey guys, I'm with you. You got to touch the ball 5-6 times a game where you just toss it to him and let him get around the corner and see what happens. And he played well last week. He's played well the previous 2 weeks, matter of fact. He's got to get in the game, find a place for him, situations for him, and let him touch the football.
I hate to say this, but if this guy played for Andy Reid, he would be a phenomenon in the NFL. They would find different plays and gadgets to get him the ball, mm-hmm. and we just can't find a way to do it here.
Well, you just have to. I mean, jet sweeps, quick tosses, just get him the ball. Just let him catch the ball. And you're right. Andy Reid would find a way to get him the ball. And Todd Monken needs to do that as well.
Give me a score and a winner, Mike.
The Ravens win 24-6. Hmm. I don't think the Browns can't score.
I agree.
They can't score points. Maybe they'll get a field goal, two field goals. But other than that, the Ravens win this 24-6.
Mike Preston, we will see you on Monday. We'll hear from you.
I'll call in money, headed to Cleveland, the mistake by the lake, and go in there and have some fun.
Come on, man. You got plenty of time to get back here and get your ass in here. It's like you don't like seeing us or something.
Well, actually, you know what? I'll be back in Baltimore by 7:25 because I got to catch that 5:50 flight. But, hey guys, I really don't want to see y'all that bad. The game starts at 4:25. I don't want to see y'all that bad. Jeremy, I love you, man, but I'm coming in there and seeing all of that.
Hey, you know what? You can see me on YouTube now because our show's on YouTube.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll be calling in. See you guys.
All right. Take it easy, Mike.
Check out these bedroom blues with this hoodie that Ed bought me that gets my eyes popping.
Right. Week 11 picks at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, reaction from ALNL MVP choices. Did someone get robbed? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Friday to you folks. If you're not watching us on YouTube, then you're missing out.
Sure.
Check us out on YouTube. Also, if you're getting out of your car right now because you're getting to work, go to the Odyssey app. Don't turn it off.
Yeah, welcome to the Player Haters Ball.
Uh-huh. I run this mo.
And then what he said,
I run this mother.
Yeah, my buddy Shelton, what was the line he sent me? Oh, it was so good.
She looked like she'd wear boxes with penis holes in them.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
Man, he said a different word.
Yeah, but
Richard Holes?
Yes. Yes.
So the American League MVP is Aaron Judge. I said I would have voted for Cal Raleigh, but Aaron Judge is the most valuable player.
Can we get these baseball writers to vote on the NFL MVP from last year? Because apparently they got it right and they didn't.
Yeah, they voted what really is. They didn't go with the emotional. We're tired of Aaron Judge, or let's get somebody new in there. Cal Raleigh, yeah. This is who he is. He'll have another chance to win.
Yeah, and this to me, I really like this. Because, well, actually, just what Jeremy said, kidding around, but getting them to vote for the National League, excuse me, the football NFL MVPs, because there's so many things at play here. Judge has won it before. This is, his third time, right? So he just won it. You had Raleigh with that season. Judge plays for the Yankees, who, like, you know, still in the evil empire in many people's minds. I think there's always anti-Yankee bias, and they still got it because he deserved it. So I got to give him credit for like not looking at all these things. Well, he's already won it twice. Let's give it to the other guy. And he won it last year. And, oh, come on, it's the Yankees, you know.
Yeah.
All that. No, didn't he matter. Deserved it. He got it. I mean,
he had a better year.
He had a better year.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, Cal Raleigh only beat Aaron Judge in home runs and RBI.
That's right?
Just home runs.
That's it.
No, he had RBI too. He did lead the American League. But Judge missed some time.
No, I know. I was going to repeat what he said until you jumped on me.
Oh, you son of a...
Everyone wants to get it out!
He let him in RBI, too.
I know.
So, I mean, he's the most valuable player. Now, are you surprised that, Ed, that there was no Shohei fatigue?
Yeah. No. Well, now, no, because what they did with Judge. I could have easily seen them not giving it to... although Shohei's tougher not to give it to him when I think about it. How do you not give it to him?
Who would you have given it to?
He's a DH.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by talent. It's enough reasons for you to make up, but Jeremy's right, and there was no close number two.
There wasn't.
Like there was with Aaron Judge.
But even if there was, who's pitching, too? Like, I mean,
he didn't during the season, though. That's the thing.
He did at the end of the year.
Yeah, but I don't think
Not enough to impact
it, is what I'm saying.
But that definitely factors the factor into it. He pitches. He can steal bases. I mean, he's the best player in baseball, period.
I think he started pitching in August to kind of get him ready for the World Series, which I think that's how they should do it every year.
But think about this, though, Jeremy. Everybody coming off of Tommy John surgery has rehab stints where they can go through the minors and get this done. You can't do that with him because you can't take him out of the lineup. He came back from Tommy John surgery without rehab stint. He didn't go down to the minors and air it out. He came right back pitching in Major League Baseball. That's absolutely insane. He's rehabbed in the majors, man.
I said it years ago. This is the one sport that we can sit here and say this. unless there's somebody that all of a sudden comes in and they're sacking the quarterback on the other team and throwing 30 touchdown passes on the other side of it, which I don't think is happening.
Yeah.
But like, once you give him the MVP, you cannot stop giving it to him unless he has a year he gets hurt or somebody has some amazing season that looks better, because nobody can do what he does.
Look at the voting. It's, you know, Judge got 17, Raleigh got 13 first place votes. Shohei got 30. That's it. That was it. It wasn't even unanimous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the difference.
So it was Juan Soto and Kyle Schwarber that were
third.
Yeah, they were the other two that were
But they got third place votes, yeah. I mean, no, excuse me, Schwarber got second, so it's the National League.
But those were the top three, but that's just to let you know, like, do you think Schwarber was amazing this year? He doesn't play in the field either. I mean, he shouldn't.
He got 23 second place votes,
yeah.
And then Soto got four.
But he wasn't Ohtani.
No.
The guy's amazing. It's fun to watch. I thank God for the guy who fell on the sword for him, for the gambling. Because just think what baseball would be without Shohei.
Yeah.
So for everybody that wants to make, he was a gambler. Shut up. He didn't get caught.
You know what I mean?
He didn't get caught, man.
It reminds me of that House of Pain song. It's not a crime if you don't get caught. Yeah, it is.
Well, it's different.
He just had a good fall guy. He listened to Chris Carter.
That's different.
Hey, we'll take care of your whole family there, Kimo Sabe. You go ahead and fall on that sword. Sure enough, he did.
How long has they got in jail?
I don't know.
It wasn't a long sentence, was it?
I mean, he probably got look, what is this, white-collar crimes we're talking about here?
Mm-hmm. No, he got a long sentence. Depends on the dollar amount. He went to federal prison.
Did he get the dollar or did he get the dong? Or is it yen?
Yeah.
What's the for? It's not the dong? Who uses the dong,
you
Joe?
It's me?
Yeah.
It's you.
He got just under 5 years. That's a piece.
Dong.
He got almost 5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, dude,
that's a sharp sword, man.
The way they do it in the federal system, they give you months. You get 60 months.
It adds up to 5 years, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They never say that, though.
Yeah, 57 months.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they do. You know, I've talked to guys. Yeah,
they make it hurt.
Oh, hit me over the head. He gave me 120 months. I'm like, that's 10 years.
I got months. Months.
410-583-1057 is the number. Rick Ritter joins us at 9:15. But on the other side, week 11 picks, including Baltimore Ravens versus the Cleveland Browns on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.